Of course, the day I can taste, we're tasting this shit.
This is Bourbon Pursuit, the official podcast of bourbon, bringing to you the best in news, reviews, and interviews with people making the bourbon whiskey industry happen. And I'm one of your hosts, Kenny Coleman. Cracking the can on a warm day, it sounds like something out of a commercial. And over the past year, we've talked about RTDs, or the ready-to-drink category, and really it beginning to explode because of things like High Noon. And now major bourbon brands are moving into this space since canned cocktails, their accessibility, lower alcohol content, and mixability make them appealing gateway for newcomers while still leveraging the whiskey's premium status. Though launching requires significant investment, the potential for brand awareness and category growth is alluring. And in this episode, Ryan, Fred, and myself, we sip on five different bourbon-based RTDs, and we give our theories on the canned cocktail popularity, health concerns, ingredients, and where we see the category could expect to go. With that, enjoy this week's episode. And now here's Fred Minnick with Above the Char.
I'm Fred Minnick, and this is Above the Char. This week's idea comes from Cody Walls, who writes me on fredminnick.com. That's fredminnick.com. In your opinion, what rickhouse in the entire industry consistently produces the best bourbon? Woo! Man! I know there are a ton of flippers out there who wish I would say a Dietzville warehouse or a Buffalo Trace warehouse or a Wild Turkey warehouse, but my answer is going to shock the living shit out of pretty much everybody. And that's going to be an aluminum-skinned warehouse at Jim Beam. I've tasted bourbon at all the warehouses in, well, I won't say all the warehouses, but damn it, I've tasted a lot of bourbon in a lot of warehouses, and I have never consistently tasted a bourbon so rich, so complex, at high proof levels than the center cut warehouses that they draw bookers from. Now, if you know your bookers, you're probably going to chop back here on the speakers and say, "Well, Fred, you know that not all the bookers comes from one warehouse. It comes from several." Well, as a matter of fact, that is true. In particular, Warehouse H, W, O, G, Z, those are just a handful that are used. But early in my career, I went through all of them. I went through almost all of the warehouses, and they all had something different. But there's just something great about those Jim Beam aluminum skinned warehouses. Now, I love stone warehouses. The brick warehouses are nice. I find that the pasture ones that Heaven Hill have are wonderful. The old ones that are about to fall down are great, especially Wild Turkeys. But again, I've never tasted a bad barrel out of a center cut, like the center of a Jim Beam warehouse. And I don't know why they don't blow that up more. I don't know why you don't have like a limited series based on each one of the rickhouses or whatever. Maybe they have that planned. And hell, maybe they've already done it. It's not coming to my mind. But it's a pretty easy answer for me, because I've tasted so many in there. And I was trying to get to this earlier, and then I kind of lost my place. But early in my career, Jim Beam used to bring out riders to do what they called like a writer's table. And they would share these stories about Booker No. And we would taste all of these bourbons that came out of these warehouses that are favorite places. And they would take us to the warehouses. We'd crack the barrels open and we'd taste them. And we had such an incredible, incredible experience with that. But we also got to understand the mindset of Booker No when he was picking his barrels for Booker's. And so maybe I have always had good access to the Jim Beam warehouses, but I've also had great access to all the other warehouses. So it's not just one warehouse. It's the warehouses that they use to draw from bookers. And I know it's several of them, but all of those are great. The most consistent warehouses out there are Four Roses, that single story. One barrel doesn't taste too differently than the other. What really, to me, drives their flavor profile. is their yeast. You do have a lot of home runs in Dietzville. You have a lot of home runs with a lot of the wild turkey ones. But as with every home run, you got some duds. And I value a warehouse that doesn't produce duds, if that makes any sense. And that's what I have felt out of the Beam, some of those Beam warehouses. But that's going to do it for this week's Above the Char. If you want to be like Cody, hit me up on fredminnick.com. That's fredminnick.com. Hit the contact button, send me your question, and if I like the idea, I'll read it on the air. Till next week, cheers.
From their bar to yours, Chad and Sarah of the popular YouTube channel It's Bourbon Night bring you their favorite at-home old-fashioned mix with the new Elemental Elixirs Golden Hour Syrup. It's a custom-made syrup with notes of bold black tea, warm spices, and orange zest. All you need is your favorite whiskey and ice. No bitters needed. One bottle makes 16 drinks, so that's only $1 cocktail before you add your own whiskey. They can also be enjoyed in other cocktails or spirits, mocktails, coffee, tea, and anything you can think of. It's crafted locally in Lexington, Kentucky, and you can get your bottle now at whiskeyambitions.com.
And they're off for another Get270 2020 Unicorn Raffle. Your $20 ticket gives you not one, but two chances to win from our lineup of 20 Woodford Reserve treasures, including the grand prize, the rarest unicorn yet, the Woodford Reserve Kentucky Derby 150 Baccarat Edition. Only 150 bottles were made and is just like the one the Derby winning owner receives. Quit horsing around and get your $20 tickets now at Give270.org. Charitable gaming license ORG 0002703.
It's that time of the year where everybody's starting to make their vacation plans on visiting Kentucky, the mecca of bourbon. And if you are coming to Kentucky, you need to make sure you visit us at Pursuit Spirits in Louisville. We're right in the heart of Clifton, near Butchertown and Nulu, and only just a few miles away from downtown Louisville. But when you do come, you need to book your experience to go do our whole shebang. This is the one that's really the star of the show. You get a full-on tasting. You get to do your own personal barrel selection experience. And you get to grab a whiskey thief and fill your bottle directly from the barrel. We're doing something completely brand new that nobody else is doing here in bourbon country. Plus, you get a free sweet tasting glass at the end of it. I guarantee you, you're going to end up being one of the many people that's also leaving us a 5-star review. So make sure you come and check us out. You can book your reservation by going to pursuitspirits.com and clicking the Visit Us button. Hey everybody, welcome back to RTD Pursuit. Just kidding. It is Bourbon Pursuit. But today, we're going to be talking about RTDs. And if you don't
with
know...
With bourbon.
And so this is the RTDs. We saw it's the ready-to-drink category.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this has been something that, if you listen to This Week in Bourbon with Ryan and I, we talk about it ad nauseum because this has been something that has been in a meteoric rise. However, it is also getting to the point where maybe it's getting a little flooded. And I want to kind of look at this and break it down because the RTD category is kind of really spawned off of where seltzers were that turned into vodka-based seltzers, and now it's kind of opened up the door to everything else. And really, the topic of conversation is, well, A, we're going to drink some as we do this. And I picked up a few at our local Total Wine, so thank you, Total Wine, for being a sponsor of ours. But this was something that I said, well, let's go ahead. We'll try some as we go through here to kind of figure out what is the overall captivation of, like, why do people gravitate towards RTDs? Where can bourbon fit into RTDs? Because it's not the easiest spirit considering it's not a clear liquid. And as well as for consumers getting into it, as well as kind of going through here and trying to figure out which one do we like the best? So a lot of ways to take it.
I will say, and you're going to talk about the brands that are up here, but there's one brand that I absolutely love. It's called Sipony. S-I-P-O-N-Y.
Well, they're gone off the shelves.
Yeah, they're not a Total Wine, apparently.
Yeah, they're a small little brand, but it's started by a former colleague of mine. She's a taster, Amanda Victoria, and just a really incredible job they do. They add, like, do honey and, like, rye whiskey. And the fact, yeah, I've talked about this before, but you know I love honey. I love encouraging bees. I love real honey, not the fake shit. So
not the Well, I shouldn't say that. Never mind.
Oh, here. Before
we get started. Whoa. What were you going to say?
No. I'm not going to say it.
Say it.
I was going to say, not the Flavor Man version of honey.
Yeah.
Well, actually, and now that you say it, this is kind of all coming back to an episode we did last season when we actually talked to Flavor Man to try to figure out what's it take to make a whiskey RTD. And today we're going to break it down a little bit more. So here we go. Ready?
All right. It's the first time ever Kenny loud noises.
Do you remember when he used to yell at us?
It's like, no bottle pulls, no carbs, no glass slapping.
This sounds refreshing, though, when that happens, right? So I'm going to go ahead. Oh, this is the Jim Beam Classic Highball. Mm. Is
it
what
looks
this
very clear.
It is. You're right. This is...
So, it's been fat washed.
Well, you got to remember, this is also, I think, what's it, 5 or 7% ABV?
Is this actually bourbon? Yeah, made with bourbon, and it's 5%. Interesting.
Oh, man, this is...
This is like... I can't believe how clear it is for...
It smells like throw up.
Well, to be fair...
I'm actually serious. This is disgusting smelling.
All right. Well, to be fair, I've had these before.
We're not going to... There's no nosing those. Hard to do.
Like, hold on now. You gotta remember, you're on the golf course drinking these. It's like... But I remember their ginger highball was actually very good.
All right, so we got the Jim Beam Classic, which is bourbon and seltzer with a hint
of
citrus.
The reason why I say it smells like throw up is because it actually smells like 7-Up, which is what I...
Is that what you drink when you throw up? See, the thing I like about this one, it's because a lot of these have a ton of sugar and calories. This one's only 105 calories. I don't see sugar con, but only 3 carbs. So it's in that high noon kind of, that's what
I think.
High noon and all those seltzers.
Because I drink alcohol for the nutritional.
Well, I know, but the thing is some of these have 20, 30 grams of sugar and you're like...
Yeah, that's true.
And 100, 200 plus calories. And it's like, if I'm going to sit there and drink a few on the lake or golf course, I don't want...
God. Well, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about why the category exists. So,
sorry, I'm with Fred.
Oh my God.
It's not the best representation.
This
That's why I said
disgusting.
I wish they had the ginger version because you add a little bit of ginger to it. It tastes like ginger ale and
bourbon,
not even
bourbon
a whole
and ginger is like a match made in heaven.
Exactly,
it is. Actually.
This one, I think I had reviewed it before. It does. It tastes exactly like bourbon and seltzer. Anyway, I kind of want to also talk about the gradual progression of like why people get into this category and really why it exists. And Ryan, you made a really good point is that you said, oh, this is kind of like the high noon side of things. And that has been an explosion of where we see the growth in regards of what people are gravitating towards and getting. So this is a move away from craft beer. It's a move away from beer in general because, Ryan, you say it best, it makes you feel bloated, makes you feel like...
Well, even to a move away from the malt seltzers. You know, most seltzers, they've been around forever. You had Smirnoff and Zima and God knows what in the 90s. And now White Claw, Truly, this and that. But those, even me, they're like kind of filling and the flavors just give me heartburn. But High Noon, when I found High Noon.
Well, some of them are all too artificial.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I want to make sure we also talk about these as well when we go through these. Like sometimes they can also feel too artificial.
Exactly. But when I've discovered High Noon, gosh, I think it was in Florida in like 2019. I was just like, oh my gosh, these things are great because it's like drinking a vodka soda with a little bit of flavor. I know Fred hates vodka, but when you're on the boat or a golf course, the beach, lake, you can't bring glass. It's hard to make drinks. And so just that canned RTD thing is like perfect for that. But a lot of times when bourbon's involved, it's like such a high ABV, high calories, high sugar. It's like one or two, and then it's like, you're done.
And see, that's why I love that Sippany brand, is because it has the essence of, there's not sugar there, it's like honey, and it has the essence of the whiskey. I don't know what Jim Beam was thinking here, but I don't taste any whiskey in that. I don't taste any bourbon. I don't even know what that is.
Well, I mean, to be fair, what we say, what was the ABV on it?
5%.
Yeah.
So same as a beer, like Miller Lite or something.
But let's say...
I mean, if you were to take a pour of bourbon that's 100 proof, and you try to take it down to 10, what do you think it's going to look like?
Oh, I know. It's not what it looks like. It's what it tastes like. I know it wouldn't taste like that. I mean, that just is, that's an abomination to even have bourbon on the label. Jim Beam should be ashamed of that.
Oh, boy.
Well, I guess Jim Beam's not going to be sponsoring Bourbon Pursuit anytime soon.
Not with RTDs.
And not with RTDs.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
No, it's okay. That's what you do best. You're unfiltered and you give your honest opinion of taste.
I love Jim Beam. I mean, that's a great brand. They're an incredible distillery, but that sucks.
Well, fair enough. You go to the next one.
Let's go ahead and do that.
I can keep going on if you want.
So we'll do another big one. All right. Okay. So moving to Jack Daniel's. So this is going to be
the two biggest players in the bourbon game.
All right.
I've had this one before, too.
All right. So this is the Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey version, and it says lemonade on it. So it's a lemonade, Tennessee Honey. I don't really know.
Ryan, do you want to keep doing the label reading? You were so good with that.
Yeah, once you hand me the candle, I'll start reading it. But okay,
go ahead and give the deets on it real quick.
Yeah, so we got a lot more material.
You know,
back
so
there.
It looks like this is made with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey, not just Jack Daniel's. This is 7% alcohol, so a lot more bang for your buck. There's no nutritional facts on here. That must be on the box.
Probably
so,
well, I don't think they're required, are they? Are they?
They're not required.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Well, let's
try
this.
The volunteer thing.
Yeah. So typically, I do like the lemon. Tea kind of bourbon RTD kind of flavors. Yeah. Those typically go well together for me.
Well, I just right out of the gate, this smells like what's on the label. That smells like lemonade and honey to me.
It sure does.
Yeah, it's kind of like a almost pine salty kind of note. I don't know why I'm nosing this.
That's like, I think we might have been the only people in history to nose an RTD.
Yeah, we're that lame.
I like this. And I've had this before, but I think I like it more now. But
yeah, this is much more, the sugar content's got to be 10 grams plus on this. It
probably is. It's
but refreshing. It's very sweet, refreshing.
Yeah.
I could drink
I could be
this
on a boat.
Boat.
Yeah.
Jinxies.
Waiting for the boat punch to come out now.
Yeah, boat or golf course. But 7%, this is, I mean, it won't take long. You know, most beers are 4.5, 5. So got
2%. I don't think that's a stretch of for what that is. I mean, most craft beers are probably around that area as well, between 5 to 7.
Well, for every 3, you're drinking an extra one. Isn't that right? Basically, because that 2 extra percent, you're, well, 4, I guess. 4, if you drink 4, that would be another 2%. Right? 8%.
His math is just off of my head.
We're doing alcohol math right now, folks.
Yeah, that's probably why it's not registering. It's alcohol math.
This is fantastic.
Ryan, to kind of catch on to what you were saying there, let's talk about the health aspect. And I don't want to say health, but the sugar content, everything like that. For you, that's a very important thing when it comes to this. And I think that when you look at the RTD category, when you especially look at the seltzer base, the vodka base, you really have to pay attention because it's kind of like a hidden behind the scenes because it could really sneak up on you how many grams of sugar you're taking in. And I know for you, that's kind of an important thing too.
Well, yeah, because diabetes runs in my family, type 2 and type 1. So I'm very, I guess, insulin resistant sensitivity to sugar and carbohydrates in general. And two, even like something like a High Noon or a malt beverage says 1 gram of sugar, 0 sugar. It's still not factually correct because alcohol is the first component. When you ingest alcohol, it's the first component your body starts to break down. And so it has to break that down first for anything. And so it's pretty much treating it like sugar or calories, extra calories that your body's having to work overtime to get rid of that. And that's why when you're trying to lose weight, they'll discourage you from drinking alcohol. But yes, they sneak a lot of sugar in them. For me, I've done blood sugar tests, and after drinking some of the ones with the higher sugar, mine can shoot up to 150, 200 in a matter of minutes, you know? Wow. And so if you're insulin resistance, sugar sensitivity, you definitely got to watch these because they definitely can hide some sugar in there, and some of them disclose them, some of them don't. So
yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like when something says it's low calorie, low sugar, don't always like take that at
face value,
yeah. Whatever. And I probably butchered the health way the body breaks down alcohol, but I think I'm close to that. But I'm sure some doctor will write in like, he's a dumbass and his math is wrong too. So just don't listen to him.
I mean, I remember looking at the amount of sugar that's just on a regular can of Red Bull. And I said, okay, at least if I'm going to do Red Bull sugar free from now on,
yeah.
Because that was a wake up call for me. When
Like Sprites have 55 grams of sugar. You know, that's like 2 days worth of
200% of your daily intake or something like that.
And some of the rums out there too, you know, they add sugar.
So. Right, and tequilas.
Yeah. Know. I mean, it's an issue in spirits, and they should disclose that stuff, but they don't always do it.
Yep.
And I guess that's where you're going to break out of the bounds of this with bourbon, because bourbon by law, of course, you can't have any additives or sugar or anything.
And
like
that's
that.
Unless they have a finish on the label in which they can sneak a little sugar.
That's why, you know what we should do? So now I can, if we can find the companies who are doing the shenanigans, because I can take out my blood sugar after doing straight bourbon. Then if I do a finished bourbon and it raises it, we know that
they're adding something.
And that's why I started drinking. I drink bourbon before, but I drink a lot of Miller Lite or beer. But then I switched from that to like the seltzers because it didn't have a really much impact on my blood sugar level. It would take it from like my fasting is usually in the 90s, but it would take it to like 100 or 110. But if you put sugar in it, it shoots up real fast to like 150. So that'd be a good test. What we should do.
By the way, that would be a great TikTok.
Let's do that. let's do that video, and then everybody would sue us for revealing their secrets.
Actually, no, we can't sue you for how your blood reacts.
That's true.
Yeah.
So the other thing I want to kind of dig into is this is consumer behavior and consumer trend and consumer drives. So the one thing that I was interested about RTDs and why I still think bourbon RTDs are, if we were to think about an episode we had done before, is that they're still kind of a little bit underrated, is because this is a gateway. This is something that could get people into the door to actually start thinking like, oh, maybe I do like bourbon. It's the same exact way that we think of people that start drinking cocktails with bourbon-based cocktails. Like, oh, I don't drink bourbon. Be like, well, here, let me give you a Blackberry Smash. They'll try it and they go, wait, there's bourbon in here? Be like, oh, yeah, exactly. And so this is one of those just easy gravitational things. And so I kind of want to get your all's thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, I think the gateway theory is overblown quite a bit. They said the same thing with flavored whiskey in 2006 to 2012. And then a lot of those brands disbanded, a lot of those flavored whiskey brands. I think this is more than anything just capitalizing on White Claw. I mean, just like Fireball created the flavored whiskey craze, White Claw created the RTD craze. But what's interesting is like these are taxed differently. They're very different products. And so the consumers don't know that. And you have what you've been able to do is like the distillers have been able to tap into that craze for White Claw, but also bring in like the craft cocktail movement. And you've got several craft brands up here. And this is a place that like a true craft purveyor can really stand out. But there's a lot of money that goes into the packaging and getting these things canned.
Yeah, there's a big startup cost with these.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some of this, you said craft. I think the only one that has kind of really got our attention, of course, is Sagamore and their canned cocktails because we've always been big fans of them. But to be fair,
we had those at Pursuit Palooza.
We did.
Yeah.
But this is not necessarily a category where you have to have a brand recognition or a brand that exists to be able to create an RTD that'll be successful. I know there's one that's based out of Texas. I think it's called like Horse Neck or something like that. Like they're doing stuff. I've seen other small form canned old fashions that are not necessarily coming from any brand whatsoever. So we can talk about economics here in a second, but this is a way for a brand just to be able to, not even a brand, just for anybody to enter into a market that might be untapped. But here's the thing is like, if you know bourbon, by no means does that mean that you should go and create a bourbon RTD brand. However, if you are in the RTD category already, or if you know canning, or you know that process, or you know marketing about it, well, I'm sure just creating a bourbon-based X derivative of it is an easier lift than actually taking something that's already an established brand and moving it into the canned cocktail sector.
Yeah, that's probably fair. I've found a lot of tequila-based seltzers that weren't tequila brands that, okay, Mamita's was kind of the ones, I think one of the first ones that was not necessarily a tequila brand, and I got onto those. But now you start to see like Cuervo and whatever, Don Julio and all them starting to make the RTD space. But yeah, it's kind of like people outside of the industry kind of pushing the innovation, whatnot, and you see the, let them prove the concept, and then us bigger boys will get in and replicate it with our stuff.
And what's interesting about this is like these have been around forever. This is actually nothing.
Yeah, Lynchburg
new.
Lemonades.
This stuff has been around forever. What has changed is the packaging. Bottled cocktails have long been a thing, but you come out with a 750 cocktail, it's going to fail. It's not going to do well. This is truly a canned market, and I think the other style that can work is what we have here with the Homeschool Blood Orange Manhattan. This is kind of like that small little champagne pit you would get on a plane, you know, so it's that kind of size. Also, this thing's 70 proof, so this is like, they didn't hold back on this one. Homeschool Bottled Craft Cocktail Blood Orange Manhattan made with bourbon, whiskey, vermouth, and bitters.
Yeah, we'll jump.
What's fascinating is how popular these are in Australia and like in Korea and other countries, and they've been forever. You know, and now it's just kind of catching on in the U.S. You know, I met some individual in Australia that had a canned cocktail RTD bourbon that I'd never even heard of, and they source like 50,000 barrels a year for their brand, and it's like, holy cow, you know, and that's stuff you don't even think about when people say, oh, there's going to be a whiskey glut or blah, 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 you know, and there's like all that market that still needs whiskey for that, so.
And a little bit of a sidebar here, when Australia's market changed, their taxes changed in the 90s, a lot of brands were gearing up for the RTD market. It's been going on in Australia since really, since the 80s. But in the 90s, the American distillers saw that as a point of growth for them.
I got a ball open, Kenny. Yeah, Kenny's saying, like, over here trying to fumble with his wedding ring.
Yeah, I was like trying to do that thing. I was like, that was a mistake.
Here's the sound, Kenny.
Here we go. Here we go.
Oh, boy. Just fumbled that one.
He's going in. There it is.
Yeah, it didn't sound as sexy as the can.
Not as much.
Yeah.
But the market changed, and so a lot of that whiskey would go on the open market. And to think about this, they were going to sell Stitzelweller juice for RTDs in Australia.
I know. It's like, you don't know the potential of those barrels you're putting in this stuff, but I get it. You got to have some kind of whiskey.
Well, here, we're moving on to the third one. Ryan, go ahead and give the details since you're not designated as that person.
I don't know why.
Well, give the brand name as well, because I forgot.
Yeah, so we have the Homeschool Bottled Craft Cocktail. Right here we have, as Fred said, a Blood Orange Manhattan, which is a Manhattan made with bourbon whiskey, vermouth, and bitters. So it says serve over ice, garnish with an orange peel. And this is, as Fred said, 35% or 70 proof. And there is 6.6 fluid ounces in this. And there are no health statistics on this. But, oh, it is made by Savage & Cook. Oh. So that's the Prisoner folks that make Prisoner Wine and Saldo and all that, which I love their products.
This is delicious.
But they also do their own.
Yeah, they have their own bourbon as well. Which is called Savage & Cook, I think.
Yes, I think you're right.
Which makes sense. So, anywho.
This is absolutely delicious.
Yes.
Smells great.
It's a really good concoction. I agree. And this is actually the only one that we've tried so far that isn't a bubbly.
Yeah, yeah. This is more of like a true Manhattan that you can just, you don't want to take a whole bottle of vermouth and bourbon and bitters and whatnot. This is like, just pop it open. This would be great. Camping or something.
This, man. I want a steak so badly.
Yeah, this is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could get in trouble with this one.
Yeah. So I brought the spit bucket.
There you go. The other thing that, Ryan, you brought up that I really liked is we should touch on the geography and like why this makes it so important, because Americans are just now starting to see this. For the longest time, Wild Turkey and Jack Daniels, that's been a mainstay of having Wild Turkey and Coke or Jack Daniels and soda. It's not even Coke. It's whatever you want to call cola is what they were selling for the longest time. And you could get those out of vending machines across Australia and Japan for quite some time. And now we're starting to see that come this way. Now, when I was actually going and shopping at Total Wine, I did see the Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola, but I decided probably not to do that.
It's going
to
taste...
We know.
We had it at the Brown Foreman event at Churchill on that Wednesday. Remember they brought us a bunch out?
Mm-hmm.
Or no, I think you'd left by then. So,
oh, maybe not.
I think that was just me. After drinking like 20-year-old Brown Foreman whiskey, they're like, here's some canned cocktails, chase it down with.
Canned. It's funny we call that a cocktail.
Well, or whatever. Here's a Jack and Coke. But anyway.
And it is technically a cocktail.
Yeah, I mean,
if you're going to call rum and Coke a Cuba Libre, then yeah.
A Cuba Libre. That sounds better than a rum and Coke.
Bourbon Libre.
That's right.
So, like I said, I think it's really interesting to kind of look at the geographies and know how USA is just kind of starting to catch on to this, but the category is growing. The next thing I want to kind of talk about is the economics of it. The one thing that Ryan and I, we've toyed with the idea of doing something in this realm, and I think we'll still toy with the idea of it, is because when we look at, and I'm not talking about the marketing aspect, I think that's a whole other deal, but in just the creation of it, you can take a barrel of whiskey and you can stretch this pretty damn far by going into this canned cocktail realm.
I worked kind of with the Flavor Man folks. They do an exercise with you on like pricing out the various ingredients. And you can get down to like 25 cents to 70 cents, you know, of product cost in the bottle when you're selling a 4-pack. High Noons, you know, are $9-$10. So you think of the economics, there's a lot of margin there. But with that, there's also, you know, I've talked to people in this space and the challenging thing is distribution. There's a kind of more of a shelf life with these than regular alcohol. A lot of times stores don't want to bring like case stacks of these things and they take up a lot of space on the shelf versus just rows of bottles. And so it's more of a challenge. I think there's more money spent in the marketing and distribution side of these than there is the actual ingredients. So it's still probably better profit margins once you get going, but up front,
it's exactly like beer then.
Exactly.
Well, what kind of shelf life is beer compared to a lot of these? I mean, I know that, of course, in barrel-aged beer, that's the realm I play in. You could have them sit on the shelf for 2-3 years, and you're like, actually, they get better. But that doesn't necessarily bode well for most beer brands. So what kind of shelf life are you looking for at most RTDs? Do you have any idea? Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point-of-sale system you can trust, or is it... a real POS. You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. And with Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. And you can get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bourbon, all lowercase, and go to shopify.com/bourbon to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/bourbon. If you're anything like me, then you can't get enough about bourbon. And that's why I'm a subscriber to Bourbon Plus magazine. Bourbon Plus is a quarterly publication that tells the stories from the heart of bourbon. The farmers who grow the grain, the distillers who labor over the process, and the people like you and me who raise their glasses to celebrate it all. Subscribe to Bourbon Plus magazine today at bourbonplus.com, that's P-L-U-S.com, and use code PURSUIT at checkout for $5 off your subscription. So what kind of shelf life are you looking for at most RTDs? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. I think most beers are, 120 days where they start. They don't like them going past that on the shelves. 120 days. I don't know. Unless it's refrigerated, but somebody would have to I don't know. I'm not intelligent enough on this, but.
Just throwing things out there.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good question. I don't know.
Well, technically, all of these things have a shelf life. Diageo would pick up their bourbon if it hasn't moved in a year or two, so they'll pick their stuff up. But I mean, spirit would technically keep longer than beer because there's nothing active in it. So, it can't go as bad as easily, but...
Well, I think when you add sugar, though, it can.
It's true. Yeah, that's going back to the sugar thing. But from an economic perspective, I've also found it interesting, how there's no... There is a particular style of a can, but some of them are paper, some of them are aluminum, and it seems to be, they're 4-packs, they're not 6-packs, and they use that plastic top. If you are a canning facility or someone who is good at bottling, man, this is a great time to be in that business because so many people have these great RTD ideas, but they can't actually get them done.
Yeah, there's definitely no shortage of ideas that are flowing through here. It's the execution. And I think that also goes back to what you're saying on the marketing side. It's probably really hard to figure out how do you talk about homeschool. Let's take that for instance. I never heard of it. I don't know. I just went to Total Wine and I started looking. I said, what are all the bourbon-based RTDs that are available for me? And I saw it and I said, okay, cool. I'll go ahead and pick it up. And it's not to say that it was a
blend. And lo and behold, it's from someone we know.
Yeah, I know. How weird. But that was one of those things I kind of looked at and I said, well, Blood Orange Manhattan. Let's go.
I wonder why they named it homeschool. It's are they targeting moms who are teaching at home? It's this will get you through your day.
Yeah. That's a great question. Yeah, I don't know.
Not too sure either.
Huge thumbs up for me on that one. That was delicious.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one. Another thing about the RTD craze to kind of take an angle on here is, I like the packaging aspect. When we start thinking about what is an RTD, what do you all define it as? Because everything that I picked up here is already some sort of pre-made cocktail, mostly in a can. I got one that's kind of in a small little airplane bottle. Fred, you had it said it was kind of like an old champagne thing. But you have other brands that are coming from Brown-Forman as well as other places, and they're doing either 375 or 750s and pre-mixed in glass bottles.
Right.
And that, I feel, is a lot harder to sell in that form than it is to in a can form.
I think it is. And sometimes they're very good. Like Charles Woodson, he had a Manhattan that came out, and I told Charles, I was like, man, this is the best product you have in all your SKUs and spirits. Like, but I don't know if it's the right packaging. We are consuming this as soon as we open it. With the full bottles, there's an expectation that that lasts several times. But if you've had one of these, they're different after you've opened it for a little while. They change. The mixture changes because oxygen has come in. You've poured some of it out. So maybe it's not as equal. I don't know. But they're definitely different from the first drink you pour out of a 750 to the last one.
I would agree with that. For me, from a consistency standpoint, I prefer canned ones. And I don't really consider the ones in glass or this and that, because it's like, there's no way you're this homeschool. You're going to, I mean, granted, this, the nice thing about this comes in a one small size, but I have seen, like, you know, the 375s or whatever of old fashions. And not,
by the way, that thing, if I poured it into a,
there's only 7 ounces in this.
That's a, quite a lot. That's that basically, quite a lot.
That's two or three Manhattans.
That's two Manhattans.
Yeah. A lot of people getting hammered off that.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't, I mean, I guess you could consider like the Old Forester Mint Julep and Evan Williams Eggnog RTD too, right? Because it's kind of a, oof, cocktail.
That's great. Yeah.
Cocktail in a can.
I think those, we would maybe classify those as a cures or something.
Yeah.
I don't think we would go straight as far as.
It is fascinating just looking at these. It reminds me of the energy drink, like Gold Rush back in the early 2000s, where you just had like, were those crazy ones like
Rockstar and Monster,
Locos,
Four Locos.
Yeah, yeah. It kind of feels like that. It's like you kind of see that happening with all these packages and all these people, this gold rush for this RTD craze.
So here's my final thought on the, like, what is an RTD? If you open it and then you can't close it, that's a ready to drink. So like if you open it and like you can't close it. So like the, everything you have here on the table, you can't close it because you had a top that was a cap. And the rest of these are cans. So there's not, they don't naturally close on themselves. So that's how, that's ready to drink and throw away.
Be interesting that,
I like that.
What's the one that, it's the old fashioned gold, is it gold fashioned?
The gold fashioned.
It's like a 750 yeah. of
pre-made
old fashioned
fashion stuff. But it was supposed to be using the best of the best of saffron from Afghanistan and like all this other kind of stuff.
And squib juice from
Vietnam. I mean, didn't somebody actually
use really
gold flakes?
It was
too?
Good.
And something.
Well, that's Goldschlager.
No, someone, well, yes, but that was.
That's also an RTD.
Someone recently came out with like a $10,000 bottle in these gold flakes. I was wondering, I was like, can your body process gold?
I think I did hear that, but I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was the outer space people.
That, oh, for God's sake.
The barrels that are going to the moon or whatever.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
All right. Well, I got a few more questions queued up here.
We got but, one more.
Oh,
we got two more.
We got two more.
Oh,
and by the way, speaking of, hang tight, my friend. It's speaking of the Gold Rush thing. I've actually talked to somebody that's actually local here. They have their own RTD company. And she said this is probably one of the most difficult categories right now because there is such a huge influx of people doing it that it's hard. Like distributors are very worried about taking them on.
Well, yeah. I'm sure it's just like the bourbon industry. There's so many people trying to.
I think it's worse than that.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Well, because you mentioned gin, earlier, you got tequila, you got bourbon.
True. Yeah.
You got that, and you got shelf life thing to worry about. Yeah. Like if it doesn't sell, like who's eating the cost of it? Like it's, and they won't take you on. So it's definitely tricky.
And this doesn't appeal to the people who go in the liquor stores at 8 o'clock in the morning to drink in the parking lot. This is the boat crowd.
Yeah. And too, that's what, you know, talking with the folks at Sagamore, it's a very seasonal type drink. Like
yeah.
you got to get in the hands of people by Memorial Day, and Memorial Day to Labor Day is your season. And that is it. You know, after yeah. that, they just fall off.
They're not drinking by the campfire.
Nope. The or the boat or the go. I mean, I guess you can be in the boat in the winter and freezing. Yeah. But that's when you want regular bourbon.
That or you got to get to Florida and you got to start selling with the golf course.
That's true. They're probably full year round down there. But
yeah. All right. So this next one is from a company called Canvas. I'll let you do it. But this is a bourbon lemon spice. It's made with bourbon whiskey, real juice, and natural flavors.
Right. Art by Alex Rodriguez.
That's a Boone County, isn't it?
Is it? I'm going to let you speak of all the details on it.
I mean, it says Boone County on the side.
Does it? No, I don't know. I didn't see it.
Fred just snorted.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't reading the label.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I don't know what it is. It's on their side, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
It's actually on the
it's
side.
Right there.
Ooh, this looks...
I thought you were fucking with Kenny.
You know, I was like, I'm dead serious. I have no freaking clue.
Yeah, that looks pretty clear. What is this? Oh, but it's 8% ABV. That's pretty strong.
This smells like
and then there's
type of meat.
It's lemon spice. So yeah.
No nutritional facts on here. It is gluten-free, which pretty much all
spirit-based
cocktails.
Is there honey?
Yeah, there's honey and spice.
I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
I can get
art by Alex Rodriguez, baseball player.
That's what I was thinking. But this smells like mead.
Like mead.
Like honey wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually not too far from that.
It actually smells pretty good.
Yeah. This is probably categorized as another boat drink, if I had to guess it.
Huh. Yeah. I mean, it's way better than the Jim Beam.
It's a little more, I like the...
A little too artificial?
Yeah, a little too artificial.
Or is it just too sweet?
I mean, I don't know. I think they might have put too much lemon juice in there. It's very,
Yeah, the lemon's very strong.
It's like, I mean, like the roof of my mouth is like flaring up.
The Jack Daniels one's much more balanced.
Yeah, this is not balanced.
If an RTD can be balanced.
But I dare say you drop a piece of ice in that, maybe dilute a little bit.
It's a little lemony.
There. Yeah, it might
taste like those San Pellegrino lemon sodas.
Yeah.
They're just really strong.
I can work with this.
It's very good.
I can work with this.
Yeah.
All right. So the other thing I want to kind of talk about is you had mentioned bourbon cream. Do we consider bourbon cream an RTD?
Cream liqueurs are their own thing.
Because that's a category that, people that we've been in the business with for a little bit, they always like, you need to come out with a bourbon cream because it's the hottest seller you're going to have at your gift shop.
Yeah.
And
Americans like sweet stuff.
And everybody likes to mix a little bourbon cream in the morning before going to work, apparently.
So a little side anecdote for you.
Sure. Give us the history of bourbon cream.
I'll withdraw from
back in 1800s, Colonel E.H. Taylor.
Actually, it goes further than that. But in the spirits competitions, that is where you put your rookie judges. You put them on the
bourbon
the cream liqueurs because nobody wants to see that spit bucket.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, that's gross.
I just got a visual, and now I got one now, too.
If anybody would like to be a judge for the Ascots, we got to...
I remember one year, you're like, yeah, we're going to put you in gin. I was like, I'm not doing gin. I'm like, just exclude me.
That's what the other rookie judges. Ryan, what are your thoughts on bourbon cream as a category as well?
I love bourbon cream because obviously I love coffee. It goes well with that. But I think it also just a lot of... To me, it's more of a gateway than these. Like, people can get their...
Totally.
They can wrap their heads around, they put a little bourbon cream in their soda or like a Coke or a root beer.
How about
or,
some ice cream,
that's
right?
What I was going to say. Ice cream or desserts. You know, it's a very easy, like, thing for people to, like, grasp, to wrap their heads around. And so, I think the flavors are incredible with bourbon creams.
Yeah. Well, I haven't done any of the ice cream.
It's not...
What I would like to probably do is just do it the old-fashioned way. Just get an old coffee can, get some ice and some salt, and actually add the cream and actually make the ice cream with the bourbon cream.
I've actually been making espresso martinis, but not with vodka and Kahlua. I've been doing bourbon cream and bourbon with espresso and making them that way. And man, are they fantastic. They're so good.
Hmm.
Yeah, you should try that.
Cocktail Hour of Cecil.
That's right. It'll be coming soon. Pursuit Spirits, Instagram. Watch that.
There you go. All right. So the next question I'll kind of throw at you all is we've tried a few different ones now. Homeschool is the exception. We have one more to kind of go through, which is it's an old fashioned. Do you prefer carbonation or no carbonation?
I prefer carbonation.
Hmm.
With canned cocktails. So this is where I have a hard time with the canned old fashions. That one was very good. I don't like the ones that don't have carbonation. I just pour in a glass. A lot of times they're overly sweet. They're very thick. The consistency is weird. I just like the thinner, lighter weight carbonated ones better for me personally.
Do you like barley wine?
Oh, no, I hate it.
Oh, yeah. I enjoy it.
Barley wine beer, the beer?
Yeah.
Oh, no, mm-hmm. That's not my jam.
Oh, yeah.
It's too sour.
Barrel-aged barley wine.
I love barley wine.
Yeah.
Yuck.
I think it's going to depend on the type. This old fashioned will be an interesting one.
Yeah, we'll see.
I would say I wouldn't want that to be carbonated, but I want my honey and bourbon or ginger, I want that to be carbonated. So I think I'm going to depends on what it is kind of good.
Yeah, that's true. Because I love the lemon tea fizz from Sagamore, but they're all carbonated, aren't they? Or
all from Sagamore?
Yeah, that's why I like them all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it has that beer, that seltzer, that whatever kind
that
of vibe
crisp.
To it.
It's like that sensation that carbonate, just like when you're in most of these settings, I'm going to be outside where, something's dripping from the bottom there.
Yeah, whatever.
It's got a hole in the bottom.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Thomas Ashbourne.
Yeah, so you want to explain what we're drinking here, Fred?
So we're having a Thomas Ashbourne. This is a classic old fashioned premium craft cocktail, all natural ingredients. Hints of sweet maple wood, aromas of caramel, and notes of bright orange bitters. 25% alcohol by volume, otherwise known as 50 proof. And it's got a picture of an old man on the back and a signature from Thomas Ashbourne. When Thomas Ashbourne perfected his old fashioned back in 1922.
No way.
Oh God, here's the story.
He pulled out all the stops, handcrafted and bottled in the United States. The perfect cocktail to complement your perfect taste.
You know what's interesting about this one? I just poured it. It's like half carbonated.
And so the co-founder could kick all of our asses. John Cena is the co-founder.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's the best cocktail I've ever tried.
I like John Cena.
I don't know him.
I tried to get him on my show once, and they said, yeah, he doesn't do alcohol. I'm like, okay. I want to take this back. I want to take this back to him and say, all right, I'll drink this with him on my show.
Yeah, it's like J-Lo. She doesn't drink, and she has her own RTD tequila ones.
What's up?
Well, can you pass it to me? I want to try. Quit looking.
I forgot about Ryan.
Yeah, jeez. Golly.
No nutritional facts?
No nutritional facts on this one. And if I do recall correctly, this is actually one of the more expensive ones out of the four that I picked up.
I mean, so. It looks fancy town.
I do like the packaging. It looks like something you'll get out of England or something.
All right, well, it's definitely not carbonated.
Oh, no. Uh-uh. Sorry, John Cena.
It honestly just tastes like a watered-down old-fashioned.
Yeah, that tastes like
something
you left out overnight. I'm just surprised there's not a cigarette butt in it.
Ryan, tasting notes?
Yeah, that's strange. It tastes like old tea, real sugary old tea.
Yeah.
He might need to check his blood sugar right now.
Yeah, that one's sugary too.
That one kind of missed the mark for me too.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, like an old fashioned sounds, and I think that's the hardest thing we start thinking about is when we take classics, we take an old fashioned, we take a Manhattan, and we try to translate it into an RTD.
Yeah.
It's very, very hard because you need the right amounts, you need the fresh ingredients. And then if you're starting to hit, what's the ABV on that one, Ryan?
This one's 25%.
25%? Actually, it's a lot more than I thought it was going to be.
So it's 50 proof, 25%. I mean, it tastes like earthy and smoky.
I mean, John Cena would not want us to provide excuses for him. I mean, they just need to do what homeschool's doing over here and figure it out.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what they did here. I think they used too much sugar.
Yeah.
I think that's what they did. And they didn't have a big enough bourbon to stand up to all of it.
Yeah.
I guess that's another thing. Like, let's talk about the bourbon that goes into this. Does it matter?
Because I don't know. After tasting these, I think it does.
Yeah.
Like Sagamore has that 4-year.
I don't think they use the 4-year anymore. I think they removed the age statement from it. I don't know if you noticed recently.
I haven't, but it was the 4-year age stated canned cocktails. But yeah, because a lot of these are probably using, you know,
two year maybe.
Just for the color's sake, maybe 1 to 2 year.
I keep going. I mentioned them at the top. I'll say it again. Sipony, they use 4-year and they will not bottle anything under that. But I'm a big fan of like having a little age there because if you don't have a flavor profile in your bourbon, then what's the point?
Yeah, that tastes like young hot whiskey in an old fashioned.
I don't know if it tastes like that. I think it tastes diluted and it tastes like a lot of sugar. That's what I'm getting out of it.
That was probably my second least favorite. You want to guess what my least favorite was?
Jimmy Highball.
Yeah, that was an easy one. I mean, out of all these, I think I'll gravitate probably towards Homeschool. That was my favorite of the three.
Homeschool, then probably Jack Daniel's Honey Lemonade, and then the Canvas, and then Old Fashioned.
It's a tie for
Thomas
last.
Ashbourne can fight for last.
I'll say this, the Canvas is, they're doing something right.
They're on the right path.
On the right path. They just got to figure out maybe too much lemon on that. But man, Homeschool, that's every bit as good, if not better, than the Manhattan you're going to get in your average steakhouse.
I agree with that. Probably better. A lot of times they butcher those Manhattans.
You get two of them in a single single bottle.
I know. What was the cost on this for the 4-pack?
I think it was like $24 for a 4-pack or something like that.
That's incredible.
So it was actually, if you break it down, if you get 8 cocktails out of it, that's a pretty good deal.
You could really entertain a dinner party with that right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to do that and be like, look at these Manhattans. Batch Manhattan.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Oh, man. So like I said, kind of closing thoughts on this. I kind of want to get y'all's idea on like where this category can go. Should it go? Should it keep going? In my opinion, this is a place that I wouldn't say it's ripe for disruption, but there's definitely a place where you can make a name for yourself or you can create something good. I mean, like I said, we tried a bunch here. We've preached the gospel of Sagamore for a long time because we got turned into those a long time ago and they make some amazing RTDs. But
and full disclosure, they do make our whiskey for us. So
they do.
Some bias, but they are really good.
But they are really good. And plus, a lot of people like them. They're fantastic. But that just goes to show you, I think there is an opportunity to be able to do this. It's probably not going to be the hottest seller during the winter months. This is definitely going to be a springtime, summertime kind of thing where you've got to really time this out well because you've got to get people that are going to be either outdoors, going to picnics, just doing something that it doesn't require a mixologist to be with you or take a lot of the stuff with you. And if you can package something that's good, and I think we all kind of agree, like we like the can form factor, and I think we kind of like the carbonation factor. I think those two kind of really play into it of just kind of having that refreshing feel to it.
Yeah, I think the opportunity is if you can somehow create a product that can compete with High Noon. High Noon just passed a billion. White Claw's way more than that. If you can find something that's got that bourbon, a little bit of bourbon taste, but crisp, refreshing, light, still these are just kind of more just so sweet spectrum that it's kind of missing that mark. But they're close. They're getting better than the ones I've had in prior years. So I think they'll just continue and improve and try to make this a legitimate category. Because I do think there's a lot of runway with it from a convenience factor, cost factor. People like convenience, and these are easy.
What would make you want to get a bourbon-based RTD versus something that's like a vodka or tequila?
Yeah, so, I mean, for me, if there's like a... Gosh, I don't want to give my ideas away, but...
Yeah, don't give all...
Yeah, but I mean, if, you know, I love... The reason I love the High Noons is because they have just enough sweetness, enough fresh, like, fruitiness to it, that if there's something that would pair well with bourbon that just gives it like this refreshing, it's not like overly sweet, it's just like a nice, like crisp balance. That's one something I'm looking for, I guess, as a consumer.
If there was an influencer who would just take an ice chest full of RTDs to the beach with them and then play some nice music and pull one out and crack it open and just make me feel like I was there, that's what I'm looking for in an RTD. I want to be influenced.
Kind of like the old Corona commercials, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of what you're thinking.
I'm actually not joking. I want to have an experience with these things. I want this to be connected to playing beach volleyball or something. I don't want to just like...
I'm getting images of like Top Gun with Fred.
You know? I want something out of it. I don't want to just drink it. I want it to be connected to something. I have to do something else to take my mind off the fact I'm drinking it. So...
I mean, is that because like this, I can understand you're a purist at the end of the day. Do you feel that this category of RTDs like has legs to stand on? Do you think this is a fad? Like, what do you think?
No, I think it's here to stay because people are too lazy to make the drinks right at home.
Well, I don't disagree.
Yeah. The other
But everybody's looking for something easy. I mean, that's why there's cocktail kits in the mail that exist and stuff like that.
That's why we have microwaves. The fact is that right now there's like a Keurig level cocktail machine out there. And if you want cocktails, but you don't want to make them, you don't want the mess, you don't want to try to figure it out, or you think your cocktails may suck, these are going to be the closest thing that you can get to something in the bar. And I'm telling you, that homeschool Manhattan is every bit as good or better than what I can make at home. So
there we go.
Yeah, I've had yours. They stink.
Oh, I love it. I'm glad you can razz them every once in a while.
It works.
Well, that's going to do it for another episode of Bourbon Pursuit. Love to hear what you think about RTDs. You know, Ryan and I, we're a little bullish on them. We're big fans of the category. But if you have ideas about it, go ahead, leave us a comment, put a review on Instagram when this episode drops, and also, of course, share with a friend. But with that, cheers, everybody. Have a good weekend. We'll see you next time.
We got to check Ryan's blood sugar.
Oh, it's all right.
Hook my finger. Toodles.
Huck sucks.